It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
And welcome to another week's edition of UGA Sports Live, episode 507, something what? Along those lines, 508.
Is it really already been that many?
It has indeed. So, you know, we are back again, myself, Paul Meharry, alongside Jake Roos in the building, the man, the myth, the legend, sitting with him. So we are also broadcasting on the 11 Alive Sports Facebook page, and we're also live at Champions Fried Chicken on Baxter Street, where if you're watching us on Facebook, you'll see the amazing hot wings that we have sitting in front of us.
Smoked hot wings.
Hot wings.
Yes, make sure you note that.
Don't get it twisted.
Fantastic here at Champions, as everything is, but these hot wings, award-winning,
yes.
A little something different. You know, if you're not maybe in the mood for the fried chicken, maybe you want to spice it up, a little buffalo,
absolutely.
Go for it. The ranch, I can tell you, is fantastic. Their fries, all their sides are great.
I'm
going
to be eating it after the show. So,
And our beer of the week this week is Southern Brewing Company, local here to Athens, Devil's Hop Yard. Quite a tasty little brew, as everything Southern Brewing makes is. I really love everything they do. Let's hop right into
it,
let's
do it, man.
Paul.
Let's do it.
All right. I think that probably the first thing that we want to lead off with tonight is...
I think Yonte Maton.
Yonte Maton. Yeah, some breaking news on Yonte Maton. For those of you who haven't heard, looks like, based on the sources that we've spoken to, Yonte probably heading back to Georgia.
Yes.
For that senior year. So he's going to be taking in one last shot. You know, Paul, first off, your reaction to that news. We're waiting on
huge.
Full confirmation.
Huge, huge,
huge.
It's huge. Yonte Maton is going to be all SEC next year. There's no question about it.
You heard it here first.
He is probably one of the best post players in the SEC. Mark Fox gets to bring him back to tutor young Rayshon Hammonds, who he brought in from Norcross, a top 50 player across the board, who's going to be inside the post with Yonte. Another big thing, though, is with the loss of J.J. Frazier,
sure.
Yonte Maton is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Who he already was in some certain situations. J.J. Frazier was the guy as well for them for most of the season, but the backbone of that team really was Yonte Maton. If Yonte got going, didn't matter what J.J. did. It didn't matter what any of the other guards did. J.J., and when you watch,
I'm not going to go so far as to
okay,
say it didn't
fine.
Matter what J.J. did.
That's fine. But what I'm saying is Yonte is the backbone to the team. He gets you 20 and 10 just about every night.
Sure.
And to have him back, I honestly thought that he was going to get drafted, not in the first round. He's that tweener.
Sure.
He kind of reminds me of Draymond Green without the athleticism, the height, the way that he plays the game. He just doesn't have it like Draymond does. And even Draymond was only a second-round pick. So it took him a while to get going in the league. But for Yonte, coming back to Georgia, I think it's huge in the sense that it puts them right there. The big thing for Georgia, though, is Missouri this year. Missouri got Michael Porter. They just got his brother, Jontay Porter, who's a five-star. He reclassified for the class of 2017. So Mark Fox is thanking his lucky stars that Yonte is back to mess around in the post against those guys.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, and really, I think it makes a ton of sense for Yonte. This is a guy who can benefit a great deal, in my opinion, from another season on campus.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to only boost his stock, in my opinion. You know, will there be some more one-and-dones who come in and you know, get some high spots? Yeah, but there always are. You're going to have to compete with that. He's going to have one more chance, and really I say one, but he's going to have a full season
correct.
To demonstrate to scouts, again, what makes him so special. He's long, he's big, he's physical. You know, he's one of the best to come through Georgia in a long time in terms of NBA potential. So
he's trying to go the first round. That's why
absolutely.
He came back.
Absolutely.
I think that some team would have taken a chance on him in the second round, but, you know, Yonte thought otherwise, and I think it's really cool that the NBA implemented the rule where if you don't hire an agent, you can still go work out for teams, kind of feel the water, test the water, see how the teams are liking you. And if they're not, you know, so what? Come back to Georgia, come back to your school of your choice. You didn't sign an agent. You're not contractually obligated to go to the NBA, much like the NFL right now. I think there was 40 or 50 guys that went to the NFL right. that did not get drafted that can't go back to school.
Yeah.
Well, they could go back to school, but they can't play football.
Right. It's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
You know,
the NBA really does a good job with that. They just started that. And so now, instead of Yonte, having to go to the draft, maybe getting drafted, maybe not having to go play in France or something like that, he gets to come back to Georgia for another year, showcase his talents. And, try to get up in the first round.
Well, and, he'd already solidified himself, I think, on campus as one of those guys who people were going to remember from this program for a long time.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a legendary player already. He's going to have a chance to really cement quite a legacy for himself.
Kind of like what J.J. did.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, J.J., it was heart and gut
Correct.
And grit.
Correct.
Yonte, it's physical ability and, superstar potential, at this level. I'm not saying that maybe at the NBA level, but he has a chance to be an SEC superstar.
When you watch Yonte in the post in the college game against some of those lower-tier SEC teams, it's not fair. He dominates, and he's not even that big. So good thing for Georgia basketball. We're going to continue to cover that. Dan McDonald, UJSports.com, going to get a story up on that very shortly, I think. But Yonte Maton, for all we know right now, is coming back to Georgia. And I can tell you, I thought I heard a high-pitched squeal. I think it came from Mark Fox's house not too long ago.
No, I don't think there was any high-pitched squealing coming from his house. I think that he probably is asleep and sleeping the best he has in a couple months.
Probably, yeah, especially the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Knowing that Yonte's coming back. So good for him. Mark Fox.
Good for Georgia basketball fans.
Yes.
Huge.
You got another guy you can build around for another year, and then hopefully one of those guards that you got last year, those true freshmen, can kind of just step in right behind Yonte and lead the team, or Turtle Jackson.
So. Yeah, you brought in some talented guys, last year. You can really start to Mark Fox is, he seems like he's really close to where he wants to get this thing.
So, good on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming back to Georgia.
Good for him. Good on Yonte. Big news, though, right there.
Another big story, though, on the flip side for Georgia. Georgia's back down to two commits.
How long have we been playing that game?
I think it was let's see if we can get to three or four.
Sure.
Then we're going to go back. And now back at two. What? You have a kicker, though.
So. Yeah, you got a kicker. And he seems pretty solid
on
that commitment.
You got a corner who is reminiscent of how Richard LeCount was for the 2017 class. He kind of wanted to be that leader. Chris Smith is who I'm talking about out of Hateful Charter. He's not as vocal as LeCount, but you do kind of have that leader, so to speak. But you lost a key person in your 2018 recruiting class, of Donovan Georges. I say key only for the simple fact of sheer numbers right now.
Yeah.
You went from 3-2. You lost 33% of your class.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But, Georges was a guy that I think both of us from the beginning thought it was a very weird commitment that he committed so suddenly to Georgia. And then we were both kind of looking at it like we've seen this play out before.
I think and that's really the case here is I think we've seen this play out before. For those of you who don't know, don't follow recruiting that closely, we'll touch on real quick. 3-star linebacker out of Champagnat Catholic. That's down in Hialeah, Florida. One of the best programs down
there.
Where
is Hialeah? Do you know?
Hialeah, I believe, is around the Miami area,
South Florida.
I believe so, yeah. If I'm not
Miami Dade.
Yep, there you go.
So,
some good football there.
South Florida kid.
Donovan, 6'1", 238 pounds. Arrivals 5.6, so kind of your standard 3-star athlete.
Yep.
Georgia took him, I believe, early January, earlier this year.
Yeah.
What I think happened in this situation, my gut, and from what we've talked to him and from what we've heard from reports as well, this was a guy that I think they took an early flyer on. Mm-hmm. They wanted to see him develop over the course of the spring. They liked his junior film. And over the course of the spring, I just don't think he's tested very well. I don't think that he's done the things maybe, not to say that they didn't, that they wanted him to do. I just don't know that he's developed quite like they had hoped when they initially accepted this commitment.
Yeah, he's been to quite a few camps. And normally when you have a guy that's, committed to Georgia this early on, you hear his name. At least pop up at camps.
Sure, sure.
But he had a good 40 or he had a couple of good plays. Donovan Georges, you can't find pretty much anything on him from this spring. One thing to note, though, he does have offers from Alabama, Louisville, LSU, Miami, West Virginia. are all those offers committable?
I don't think so. I certainly don't. I don't think that Donovan Georgis is going to leave, Athens and head to Tuscaloosa.
Correct.
I see him from basically all we've been able to tell, I think, throughout this recruitment. It looked like Miami was going to be a big player there for a long time, mm-hmm. and he was really, really loving that. Yep. No surprise. I mean, being a Miami guy, that he would be in love with that. But I believe the last update we got with him, Rob Cassidy at Rivals.com, our analyst down there in Florida, reported that Louisville was a team that is really...
Seems like Louisville is always a thorn in Georgia's side, especially when it comes to defensive
guys. I guess it depends on what you consider a thorn.
Like, no, it just always seems like they're there to pick up Georgia's scraps.
Oh, sure, sure.
They're just
sure,
like,
sure.
Where would this kid go if he decommitted from Georgia? Well, Louisville.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And that makes a ton of sense, in my opinion. You know? I think that it's you're right. It that ends up being the case so often.
Yeah, I just feel like we hear about that all the time.
Hey, it's trendy. Josh Harvey Clemens, Shaq Wiggins.
Shaq Wiggins is now on his
He's in Tennessee.
School?
Yeah, right, right. He couldn't follow Todd Grantham to Miss State, he had to go to Tennessee this time. But, George is I feel for the kid.
I do.
It is what it is. Recruiting is a nasty business. It's tough for everybody, that kids included. He was very respectful in his letter where he let everybody know that he was decommitting. Mm-hmm. He seems like a great kid. I just don't think he fits what Georgia wanted to do. I think that he is not what they're looking to do at linebacker. He's definitely not Roquan Smith. I mean, at 6'1", 236, he's pretty bulked up. He's not got the size of a Natres Patrick to get in there and play that inside linebacker. He's not going to be – he doesn't have the speed of a Nate McBride to play outside and rush. So there just doesn't seem to be a real home for him in terms of his fit with Georgia.
Well, it's one of those things where Georgia's going to have to find another kid to put in that 2018
and
class.
And another.
Yeah, you got to get about 20. Others.
Yeah, right, right.
But it's one of those things. Georgia's going to move on from it. I think it was a mutual parting of ways. I don't think, if Georgia wanted him, I'm pretty sure that he'd still be on the commitment list, don't you?
I think so. Yeah, I think that was a pretty mutual parting of the ways with that going on. So, tough, but hey, this is when it happens. This is the time
Correct.
Of year. Summer's right around the corner. Georgia's put out a ton of offers.
Oh, but wait, December.
Yes.
This is even moving the timeline up further.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That makes it, all the more important with the timeline being moved. You've got to address these things early on. You got to nip this stuff in the bud. You don't want to be sitting there waiting, a week before until the kitty can't come.
Correct.
Make it known now. Hey, sorry.
It's not going to work
out. It's just not going to work out.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's me. Yeah. Right. Yeah, the classic line, right? Two commits, though, that's concerning. Mm-hmm. But I tell people a lot when I got this question actually earlier today. People were asking me, well, what do you think's gonna happen? Does it fit? Does it work? Right now is not the time for comparison. Georgia has as many commits as the Alabama Crimson Tide. Take it for what you will. I mean, I'm just saying.
That's about as far as I will.
Right. It still matters. Okay, that matters.
Sure.
It's not as if Georgia is severely lacking in terms of numbers. Now, is their quality as good as Alabama? No, definitely not. I would not say that at all. But that doesn't mean that they aren't, good players. I like Jake Camardo a lot. I think the need for kicker or punter is
Absolutely.
Very, very clear.
Absolutely.
You knew you had to take one in this class. Go ahead, get him early. Get
Absolutely.
Him locked up. Those guys go at a premium anyway, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
Chris Smith, somebody we always kind of assumed was going to end up being a Bulldog. I think once he got the offer, it was pretty much a lock.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any reservations about predicting him there at that point. The question becomes, though, now, what happens this summer? What happens in this summer moving forward? How does Georgia sort of bounce back, I guess, from this slow start? Is it going to come through the camp season? Is it going to you know, you've got the Zamir White decision on the on the cusp, and that's a big one. That's the granddaddy of them all. You know, there's really nothing bigger for Georgia this year, in my opinion, than what Zamir White does. That being said, you know, what's the number? I mean, what's the number? How comfortable? What's a number you would feel comfortable leaving the summer with?
I think if you leave out of the summer with 8 to 10, I know that's a little high, but you have to remember that December is when a lot of these kids can sign now. So we're not waiting until February. So we're having to move that timeline back 2 months. You know, so I think if you can leave out of the summer with 8 to 10, with one of those being Zamir White, with one of those potentially being Trey Hill or Jamari Salyer, you know, I think you're in the right projection. If, speaking of projections, if you want to see a full breakdown of who we at UGA Sports think is going to be in the class, or at least Trent Smallwood of UGASports.com predicts, head over to UGASports.com. He just put it up probably 3 or 4 hours ago. Incredible. If you look at that class, I don't think it's all going to come to fruition. But I'm a little bit more pessimistic ever since I was burned extremely bad by Ben Davis, that recruiting class.
Ben Davis.
I know. I had a bad source.
You were living in La La Land.
Sour source.
Yeah.
This guy. But I'm a little bit more pessimistic when it comes to it. So, but if you do head over to UGA Sports, make sure to check out Trent Smallwood's projected class because there's some guys in there that probably would make it a top 10 class.
One of those guys that I think you're really going to I've got to give Trent a ton of credit for putting in onions is what I you know, for putting in the guy in this class early, and that's Master Teague out of Blackman High School, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
You talk about a kid that you want as a face of your program.
Woo!
Isn't his dad a doctor?
Yes.
Yeah, and then he's like a 4.4 GPA.
And he's also like a freak.
Yes,
he's a freak on the field. Yes. He's a kid. I mean, he can get in there. He can make it happen. He can bust those long runs. He can do a little bit of it all.
You get him and Zamir?
Yeah, I spoke to a source over at Auburn that said, you know, the coaches over there were pouring in heavily on this kid because they think that this is a 20-25 a game carry back. I mean, this is a guy who can shoulder the load for you.
So just give Zamir the ball 3 times, get 100 yards, and put Teague out there.
Yeah,
that's how you sell it to Zamir. We'll run you 30 times a game,
look,
30 times a year.
Look, buddy, we're not going to wear you out for the league, all right? We'll get you out there.
120 carries for your 4
years.
He'll
be the show pony, you know?
Exactly.
He comes out of the stable once in a while.
He's got his left earring, hoop earring
I think that bringing in that combination to go along with a guy like DeAndre Swift. You know, the only thing, in my opinion, at that you would be lacking is a big tall, you know, a taller guy, a big bruiser kind of back. But, I mean, Zamir can bruise.
Yeah.
Master Teague can bruise.
Yeah. I'm thinking like I know this is kind of like sacrilegious, but Brandon Douglas.
Sure.
I'm thinking of a guy like that. You just get a 3-star guy, 240, that can come in. And that's all you need.
You know,
even have that with a guy like Harrion on your squad already.
Well, and I love the idea maybe of, you know, taking a few guys that fit into the mold of what you're doing right now and then maybe looking into that 2019 class and pouring in on a guy like Quavaris Crouch.
Boy.
6'3".
He looks like he's older than me.
Quavaris Crouch is one of the scariest men I've ever met in my entire life. Yes. He looks like he could snap me in half like a spaghetti noodle.
Yeah, and he's about to be a junior in high school?
He is about to be a junior in high school.
Can we check the records, please?
He's about 6'3", 220, I think. Just when you watch his film, he looks like Julio Jones playing like the Atlanta Children's League. You know,
it's ridiculous.
He's a massive, massive guy. That's the kind of guy I think you're missing out of the rotation at this point. You know, a guy with that kind of physicality, that kind of build, who's built for the punishment, a Derrick Henry. You know, a guy who can get in and do that.
Aren't most teams missing a Derrick Henry?
Everybody's missing a Derrick Henry. But, you know, I
see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah. Zamir is not the biggest guy in the world. Master Teague, not the biggest guy in the world. DeAndre Swift,
not the biggest guy in the world.
Great running backs. Do not get me wrong. Love every single one of them. Love their game. Love what they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And really, if that's what you had, no complaints.
Yeah,
There's no complaints.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to add one more element, one more cherry on top, I think that'd be it.
Yeah, but you already have a full Sunday.
Sure, right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the cherry you kind of forget about anyway.
But, yeah, you know, I think that the Zamir thing is obviously, like we said, the key for the summer.
Oh, absolutely.
It's what it's all about at this point. It's how does this team, how does this staff assert their recruiting prowess? It's what Kirby Smart was brought here to do. He was brought here to win games and brought here to recruit.
Yep.
Period. That's what that's what he's known for. That's what he's supposed to do. Now, I will say, if it's me, I'm feeling good about their chances with Zamir, and I have for a long time. But one of the reasons I feel strongest about it, Del McGee. I think a guy who's really, really proven his chops on the recruiting trail, not just working on the running backs, but working all across the team for these guys, doing a fantastic job. I talked to Aziz Ojulari,
another guy that is.
Yeah, out of Marietta.
Yes.
This guy, outside linebacker, we got a great story up on him at UGASports.com, came up this past weekend and basically said, hey, you know, Georgia's doing it. Georgia's staying on me. They've been consistent. They're in my top three. Del McGee leading the way for this outside linebacker. Kevin Scherer playing a very key role. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know that he is, obviously. This guy, though, Del McGee is his guy. That guy is, in my opinion, Sam Pittman gets all the praise, deservedly so, for what he was able to do with the offensive line recruiting last year. Del is the secret weapon. Del's the hidden gem of the staff early on, in my opinion.
And speaking of which, Marietta High School football, my dark horse to win their state title this year.
I got a feeling after about the third game, they're not going to be a dark horse much anymore. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Harrison Bailey.
Oh, man.
You got B.J. Ojulari there as well.
Yep.
You got the Ojularis crashing in. Ramel Keaton.
You just had Scooby Ford
transfer
over there as well. Tons of guys at that Marietta.
It's
going to
be nasty.
Program. So shout out to those guys.
I know where Dan McDonald's going to be every Friday night.
And shout out to Harrison Bailey for going to Marietta, moving over there and trusting the process.
Sure.
Because when he first got there, and speaking of Harrison Bailey, he's the 2020 QB that has been on the radar since 2016 when he was in eighth grade. But did the switch to Marietta. I think he was at I can't remember exactly where he was, but he was already at a dominant football program. I want to say Hillgrove, too. Could have stayed there, decided to make the switch. His parents moved out that way and followed the offensive coordinator, and it's working out. They've got a solid, solid squad out there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Shout out to the Marietta football team. So there you go. They are going to do some damage, I promise you that.
But we've gotten totally off track.
We have.
Well, as we always
do. That most
as
times.
We always do.
Terribly sorry.
The number that what we were focusing on was the number that you would feel comfortable coming out of the summer with.
8 to 10.
8 to 10. I think that is, God, that seems like a lot to me.
You need 8 to 10 coming out of the summer. And are we talking end of August? Or are we talking?
I'm talking about beginning of the season, I guess.
Okay, beginning of the season. Yeah, you need 8 to 10.
I think so too.
You need 8 to 10.
I think so as well.
Because if you don't get 8 to 10, what's going to happen?
If you don't get 8 to 10.
Yeah. If you don't get 8 to 10 by the start of the season, you're going to have a lot of people questioning what you're doing, questioning how everything's being ran, things of that nature.
I think that what you're also going to have, though, is you've got to have some guys. I don't know. You've got to have some guys. Oh, I do know what happened. It went off. You've got to have some guys who are the backbones of this class. They're the guys who are setting the tone. They're the guys who are making it known that they want to be Bulldogs, regardless of the we don't care what the on-field product looks like this year. We're not worried about you need some guys who say, look, we just want to be Bulldogs.
Yep.
We don't at any expense, any cost.
Sure.
We love this program. We want to be a part of it. That's it.
Okay.
I think that you need that. 8 to 10 is not unreasonable in my mind. I think you need that.
You get that at the beginning of the season. You're taking a quite smaller class than what you did last time, 22 to 23. I think that sets you up good for December. You probably can get maybe 13, 14 guys locked in by December. Focus hard in on 7 or 8 and, you know, finish it off. And the thing is, those 8 to 10 that you get by the end of summer could have huge names attached to it. Zamir White, you might be able to get Sawyer or Trey Hill. I think Trey Hill is as close to popping as anybody if Jake Fromm continues to work on him.
What if you're able to sneak in a guy like a Tyreek Johnson?
Career.
You know what
correct,
I'm saying?
Correct. I can't pronounce his name. You just said it for Marietta.
Aziz Ojulari.
Thank you. you get a guy like that who's rising up the charts.
Kingsley Inagbare.
Correct.
You know, a guy from Hapeville who's also seen
Brandon Miller.
Right.
Is that his name? No. He goes to Miller Grove.
Caleb Tanner.
Yes.
Brandon Miller used to play for the Bulldogs.
He did. He was
though.
A five-star.
He was a five-star. Yeah. Caleb Tanner out of Miller Grove, one of those big outside linebacker
another
pass rushers that they're looking at.
There's a lot of guys this class, Jake, and we've talked about it before, that were low three stars. They're starting to make their way up the chart. Guys like the last three that we talked about are reasons why maybe if you don't get Brenton Cox, it doesn't sting so bad.
No. It still stings
it
real
stings.
Bad.
It does, but at the same time, there's a lot of guys that could potentially fill that hole. The big thing for Georgia, I think, right now is finding that big, true defensive tackle.
Yeah.
There's not one on the board that I truly see right now. You might see one that they're after hard. I don't see one right now. That and obviously the quarterback position. I think we've beat that. It is a complete dead horse. I don't want to talk about it this show at all, period. I don't care if they've offered every other quarterback in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
It's been beat to death. I think one position that they need to look at besides quarterback is that defensive tackle because
– Definitely.
Because you have John Atkins leaving. You don't know if Trenton Thompson has a stellar year. Is he going to be gone? You know, and there's not a guy right now in my mind that they're after hard. I think that's going to be a big thing come the summer where they're going to have to start getting something out there.
Yeah, you know, I guess, though, if I'm looking around and from what we've seen from these guys on the trail as far as, you know, guys we've spoken to, guys we've heard from, Georgia's consistently showing up in these lists. I mean, Georgia's consistently showing up as a factor.
And then Trevor being left at the altar.
Trevor Trout is a guy who included them recently
in
his top
list. One of
my favorite
players for this class. Yeah,
love Trevor. Think he's a fantastic player. Would
player
be a
out of
huge,
Missouri,
huge
though,
pick.
And Missouri sure. is after him and those Ronnie Perkins.
Yeah.
Those guys, they're after those guys extremely hard.
Yeah, and
this
that,
class.
You know, that's, and I got to tell you, too, just a shout out real quick to St. Louis overall.
Man.
Huge, huge year for them. That is a fantastic
yes.
year for these
yes.
guys. Rick Sandage is another guy I'm looking at. I think that they're going to stay after him down
how
the line.
How big is he, though? He's
Rick Sandage, 6'5", 263. I'd take it.
I'm talking, I want a big old meaty guy in the middle, and I can't find one that they're recruiting hard right now.
DeAndre Litaker could kind of fill that role.
I haven't heard a lot from him.
He's a big guy. I think most people assume he's going to stay at Tennessee. However, hey, Trey Scott, every guy I talk to, and this is what I think is really cool, Trey Scott – knows everybody. He knows all these kids, and he knew them all when he was at North Carolina.
Yep.
He knew them. He followed up with them when he got to Ole Miss, and now he's staying on them when he's got to Georgia. A couple guys to watch out for. TK Chimedza, definitely.
I think
the Georgia high contender.
He's another
for that.
Smaller guy.
He's a smaller
guy. He's a defensive end guy.
Now I'm going to give you your big boy, and
thank
that's
you.
Trammell Walther.
Thank you.
Yeah, Liberty County's Trammell Walther, 6'4", 273, a mountain of a man. He's not carrying 273 he's a big boy. He's a big old boy.
What about this name? I know that he's projected to play offensive tackle at the next level. He hasn't played much football at all, really.
I can see your computer and
you
no
can.
One else can, and
yes.
I know where you're going to go with that.
Daniel Falele. Is that how you say it?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Daniel Falele out of IMG. You've probably heard of him by now. 6'9", 390 pounds, hailing all the way from
New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Yeah.
Was found during a satellite camp, I think, that Jim Harbaugh had.
I believe so.
IMG said, come on over. We'll get you into a prep school here
we'll
in the States.
We'll figure it out.
He was there last year. Didn't play much. I don't think he played really at all for IMG last year. They were just teaching him how to play football. But there's a guy, you know, if it doesn't work out on the offensive side of the ball and Georgia was to get him in, you can put him right there in the middle. I think he can move a couple
times. Yeah. That's a kid you can find a spot for. Yeah, all day, every day.
And the reason I bring him up is not just to talk about him because he's 6'9", 390 pounds. I think he has legit interest in Georgia.
I do too. Yeah. You know, it from what we've seen, from what our, you know, our guys down in Florida, you know, Rob Cassidy, again, shout out to him. It looks like that Georgia is staying very heavily involved in this recruitment. This is a kid, too, where nothing's going to surprise me. If you're willing to move to Bradenton, Florida from New Zealand, you're probably willing to go play ball in Alaska if it's the right fit for you. So don't just get locked in. You know, Michigan found him, yes. That probably gives them, I would think, some sort of edge. You know, they found the giant. But
The funny thing to me, though, with that, Jake, is if you sat Sam Pittman down in a room with a sketch artist and said, Sam, now describe the perfect offensive lineman that you would like.
Yes.
He would then give that sketch artist Daniel Filet.
I got to tell you, I don't know that he would, because I don't even know that he could dream of something that beautiful.
I think there's a picture out there on Twitter when he visited that Sam Pittman's looking up at him, and it's like Sam Pittman's looking at him saying, wow, I've dreamt you up before. I've created you in NCAA football.
To quote Savage Garden, I knew I loved you before I met you.
Yes. And that's a Savage Garden reference. Put that one in the tally
you
marker.
You didn't know that one was going to come tonight on Dog Doc.
I did not.
Or UGA Sports Live, I guess
yes,
I should
whatever
say.
You say.
I think that Filele is a guy who factors in. Figure it out. If it doesn't work over there.
Does he want to play running back?
Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
It's just an absolute specimen. And if you haven't looked him up yet and you're watching us on
Make him the greatest scout teamer of all time.
Look this kid up on your computer. Open up another tab. Daniel, F-A-A-L-E-L-E. Look at the images of this kid. And, he looks like a creative player that you made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got a quick question here I want to touch on. Ben Brown, thanks for sending this one in, Ben.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Speaking of, we're talking about these defensive tackles and recruits over the years. Ben asks, in their respective careers, would you agree with me saying Julian Rochester has been more productive than Derrick Brown?
Well, seeing how they've only played 1 year so far, I think that's pretty quick to judge. But at the same token, what has Derrick Brown Julian Rochester really stepped up for Georgia in a way that I didn't think that he was going to be able to do. And speaking of Derrick Brown, played in all 13 games for the Tigers last year, did not redshirt, had 11 tackles, one sack. Okay? So let's keep that in perspective. He did recover a fumble.
All right. I wish we had Dave here.
Yeah, I know, because Dave could just rattle this off for us. But Julian Rochester, on the other hand, definitely had more than 11 tackles.
Certainly.
I'm almost positive of that. Had 36, he had two sacks, and he had a forced fumble. Yeah, I mean, the thing with Julian that surprised with Julian that surprised me the most was his ability to cut the bad weight that we had seen all through his high school career and up to his senior year. He had gotten really out of control, almost in a sense. He got to Georgia and really worked his butt off. He was involved in that incident with Chad Clay, kind of cleaned up his head a little bit, got out of that, Yeah, I mean, so far through their freshman years, Julian Rochester outplayed Derrick Brown. There's no question about it. They both play in the SEC. They both play the defensive line. Ask me that question in 2 years, though, it might be a different answer.
I kind of think it will be. Yeah. I've been a Derrick Brown fan since day one. I love the kid's game.
You also have to remember Carl Lawson was there.
Exactly. The need wasn't really as strong. You know, Julian had to step up because –
there was needed.
I mean, the depth was not really there.
He was the depth.
He was the depth. You're right. Meanwhile, you know, Derrick
is kind of go in and learn the ropes.
Ease himself into this thing. Derrick is a freak, bona fide freak. I mean,
they're different players.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Julian, in my mind, a little bit more of that space eater that you're talking about.
That is exactly who I'm talking about.
Yeah, big, wide wingspan guy who can get in there and just stuff the run up. Derrick Brown moves unlike a man
like
his size
cheetah.
Should be
he
able
comes
to.
Out the side, he comes
I remember very, very vividly seeing him at UGA 7-on-7s playing some wide receiver or tight end, I think it was at the time. And that was just great to watch.
So, I mean, I think both of them, though, when it's all said and done, are going to have very productive NFL careers.
Sure.
I could see Julian Rochester being, you know, inside for the Falcons, a defensive tackle for 10 years and, you know, just – not really getting too many points or, tallies on his tackle chart. But, I think that he's done his best. We've got another question, though. We got somebody saying, if those wings are gone when you come back on air, I'm tuning out.
No, that was one of our guys over here who played trivia with us tonight. Hey, I'll tell you what, Paul Moore, Feebleman. Paul, come out next week.
Yeah.
Basket of wings on me.
Oh.
I owe you. I owe you because you had to sit here and watch the wings get cold. So, Paul, hit me up next week. I will be back for Dog Dial. at UGA Sports Live. I'm sorry. Yes. I keep stumbling over my words tonight.
It's all good.
But, Paul, I owe you some wings. Moving right along.
Let's do it.
You know, one of the things that we've been doing on the site, and I hope you guys will go check it out because people are loving it. Anthony Dasher has really been nailing some great articles on this. And it's really, you know, player expectations, guys that he's looking to emerge this year, what he's expecting of them. Early on, he's done Lorenzo Carter, Javon Wims. I know that Jonathan Ledbetter is a guy we can expect to see one on soon. Paul, you know, who in your mind, if you're looking at this roster right now, upperclassmen, I'm going to stick with just upperclassmen.
Okay.
You know, guys who none of the younger guys just yet. Out of these upperclassmen, who are you hinging the greatest expectations on? And I'm going to take a few names away from you on defense.
Thank you. Yeah,
you can't say Trent. You can't say Trent Thompson.
Oh, thank you.
You can't say Lorenzo Carter.
Oh, even better.
And you can't say Natrez or Roquan.
Okay, so I'm expecting good things, great things from them this year.
You're expecting them to put on a career year, I guess.
Guess what, Jake? You left off probably the second best player on Georgia's defense. It's Davin Bellamy.
Ah, okay. See, I left Davin there for a reason.
I thank you. You left it there just as alley-oop. You left him right there. I think Bellamy is a guy that you saw flashes of it last year. I think he played better than Lorenzo Carter did last year, even though Lorenzo has always gotten the hype at that outside linebacker position. Bellamy is a guy that you can count on. He comes around that edge just about as fast, if not as faster, than Lorenzo Carter. And, you know, I think the big thing is Bellamy is extremely respected inside the locker room. A lot of guys look up to him for leadership. And I think it's a great thing for Kirby Smart to have not only him but Lorenzo come back for that senior class, because you've got a lot of inside-outside linebackers that you brought in, Nate McBride, Jaden Hunter. The list could go on and on for the class of 2017 that need to be molded the right way. And you've got two guys that can do that not only on the field but off the field as well. So Davin Bellamy is a guy that I think could be right up there, top three tackles, top two sacks. Wouldn't surprise me a bit to have an interception thrown in there.
And, boy, wouldn't that be huge, huge, huge for Georgia him to be that guy?
Oh, yeah. I think he can.
I do, too. And this is – I mean – if he's ever going to do it, now's the time.
But you've got to do it now.
Sure. The other guy I'm looking at, I think if I'm going to pick a guy on defense.
You can't pick Ledbetter. I took him out.
Okay, all right. No Ledbetter. That's fine. I'm going to go with Dom Sanders.
We totally left out the secondary.
Yes.
Flew right over.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Dom. I think Dom's a guy who could have even tested NFL waters last year, and because of his athleticism, could have probably garnered some interest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's such a ball hawk, such a guy who can get out there and just make plays for you. You've seen what he can do with the ball in his hands when he makes those interceptions. Mm-hmm. He's an interception machine as well. But I think Dom – so much for him to play for this year. Senior year, a chance, like I said, really to he could have maybe gotten looks last year. Maybe solidify yourself as a day two pick this year. If you're able to continue those numbers. Now, will he play safety at the next level? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, probably. I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think cornerback wouldn't surprise me either, though. I mean, he can move all around. He's that kind of athlete. He's a guy
sure
who's
is.
Going to be able to fit in somewhere for you. So, Dom Sanders, to me, the guy I've got big, big expectations for this year. Right there, I mean, I think he and Aaron Davis are the heart and soul of this defense. I think that the two of them.
Really?
I do.
You mean defensive secondary?
No, I think of the defense. And the reason I say that is because I think Aaron is the guy who has won the respect of the entire team. Coming from those walk-on ranks to undeniable, inarguable starter through Jeremy Pruitt and Mel Tucker. I mean, this kid has made it happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's grit.
Time and time again.
That's grit if ever there was grit.
Feels like every season we talk about, oh, well, this freshman's going to come in. He's going to knock Aaron Davis out of his spot.
I don't think so, pal.
Not so fast, my friend.
Don't think so, pal.
No. It happens every year, so I like that pick.
I think Dom is – like, he's got the senior year to play for. He's got the NFL stock to play for. Of the guys we took off the list, though, which one of those – pick one. And I'm going to take Trent away from me, too.
Oh, man. I think Ledbetter then.
Yeah. I do too. Chris Ledbetter. Tittle actually over here is, on the comment section.
Facebook Live.
Yeah, over on Facebook says Jonathan Ledbetter will be a nightmare for offenses this year. In my opinion, it should totally change the look of this defensive front to have Ledbetter all year.
No question.
You know, he is the proverbial the hand that stirs the pot. You know, he's the guy I think who can wreak havoc. When you're talking about how great of an athlete Dominic Sanders is, hey, this guy's a freak. This guy, you're talking about, I think he's still 20.
Yep.
You know, I think he's still like
he's young.
20 years old.
Yep.
A young guy, a guy who has a lot to play for, a lot to prove, a lot of adversity that he's come back from. I think that's got to be super motivating for John. He almost lost his shot. He almost lost his chance.
Oh, yeah.
And he almost had this all taken away from him. If that doesn't motivate you, nothing will.
And I think the best thing to hear for Georgia fans throughout all of this is we've named 7 or 8 guys on that Georgia defense that could all be the best player on that defense. And if that's the case,
none of them were Trenton Thompson.
Correct. And you're looking at a defense that probably it should be top 3 in the SEC this year. I don't think there's any question about that. With the guys that you have coming back, if they're not top 3, they need to be top 5. Because if they're not top 5, well, we've got problems.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
Somebody, you know, might be moving out of Athens after the season if they're not top 5.
Hmm. Yeah. Let's flip-flop to the other side of the ball, though. Like I said, Dash has the article up on Javon Wims, mm-hmm. a guy he's expecting some news from, or some headlines from, I guess, this year.
Yeah.
At least an impact
I'm
made.
With him.
Yeah, I think Javon's a guy who could definitely do that. So let's take Nick Chubb and Sony out of the equation.
Okay.
Those are the only two guys I'll remove for you.
Well, if you remove those two guys and we're talking about upperclassmen, we're not talking about very many. you have Terry Godwin, I guess.
Sure.
Would be the, you know,
Jacob Eason's an upperclassman
choice.
Now.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could. I'm thinking more juniors and seniors. So I'm thinking freshmen and sophomore, underclassmen. Still
no,
learning
no,
the ropes.
No, no.
Okay.
I'll take your
so
sophomores.
So everybody except for freshmen.
Everybody except for freshmen.
All right, well, I'm still going to take Terry Godwin just because I think that they're going to move Terry Godwin inside now. I think they have enough guys on the outside that they can put out there. Jeremiah Holloman, Wims finally became very accustomed to what Chaney wanted.
Don't sleep on my dude Matt Landers.
Matt Landers, Jake's high on him. But I think that's where Terry Godwin is going to make his money. His bread and butter is on the inside, that slot position. You saw it a little bit last year, and when you did, you saw flashes.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of flashes in the pan. So I think moving Terry Godwin inside once and for all, he's going to take over that Isaiah McKenzie role in a sense, where Isaiah was always inside the middle of the field, beating linebackers, things of that nature. Put Terry Godwin inside, you have Holloman and – Javon Wims on the outside, good to go. Man.
I don't know that you've ever had such a great heir apparent to a position as Terry Godwin to Isaiah McKenzie. Taking over at that slot position. Now I will say I don't consider Terry to be as dynamic as of a returner.
I don't think anybody does.
Maybe Mecole gets in there, and who knows?
Oh, God.
But that's neither here nor there. That's not my pick. I'm not going with Terry. For me, the guy that I'm looking at to make the big impact on the offense this year, the guy that I think is primed for the breakout, was the guy that we saw flashes of last year. I think the
Michael Chigbu.
No, come on. I'm off the Chigbu train. Okay, all right. That was before
was
he got to campus.
It,
that was before he got
I was
to campus.
On it.
No.
Okay.
I'm going with a sophomore. I'm going to go with Isaac Nada. I think this is Nada's year. I think that the last year you got the glimpses of it. I think this year he puts it all together. He is the he is. I dare say I think he's got the best hands on the team. And I think that and I say that because he's had some of the best hands I've ever seen of any recruit I've ever watched.
Yeah.
And
too often that Rivals ranks 5-star tight ends. I think it's only happened once prior, and Isaac Nada was the second.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love Charlie Warner. I think Charlie could do some big things this season. But to me, Isaac is so much more polished. He's so much more refined. He always has been.
Yep.
He's gotten so much bigger since he's been at Georgia, too, physically. And I think that that's going to end up playing very heavily in their favor. I like Isaac to take a major step forward, I think, in the 2017 season.
I hear you. I think that, you know, both picks are right there on the money. And again, we're talking about guys that I think Jacob Eason is going to have a lot of weapons, a ton of weapons. Javon Wims finally learning it. Holloman on the outside. Terry Godwin on the inside. You got 17 tight ends who can catch the ball. You got Nick Chubb and Sony Michel back. Again, if they're not top five in the SEC, somebody might be moving out of Athens.
Here's one I want to throw at you. This was this is a little quick one here. Bigger expectations this year, do you have them for Elijah Holyfield or DeAndre Swift?
I really liked what I saw from Holyfield in the spring game. I think that he was running completely different than what I'd seen him do regardless throughout his Georgia career or even in high school, really. I think he was running with a passion. I am very interested to see how they use DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And if they use DeAndre Swift. I think you've got a stable of running backs. Obviously, DeAndre does not want to come in and ride the bench and redshirt, and I don't think he should. But it's going to be a very crowded backfield. Somebody's going to have to be that third running back. People are kind of forgetting about Brian Herrien. Seems like Jim Chang really enjoys having him be that third running back. So it'll be interesting. To answer your question, I guess I have more expectations for Holyfield from what I saw on G-Day. I haven't seen Swift go up against SEC-caliber players yet. I saw Holyfield do it in the spring game. He was running with a pass. He was running downhill. So I'll go with Holyfield, but again, that third running back, if you're swapping out Harry and Holyfield and Swift right there, I don't think you have a problem.
Yeah, and in my opinion, you're not. I think that what we're talking about is really the question, and that's the fourth running back. In my opinion, Brian Herrien has a stranglehold on
really?
Three. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not on that train. I haven't been on that train, and I probably won't get on that train.
I think because of what he did last year, he showed himself to be a very solid contributor. But also, what we saw out of him in the spring this year, and what I mean by that is Brian is a guy who has found himself playing a lot of versatile roles. He is working with wide receiver groups.
Yeah. Well, he's big.
He is. And he's big in the way that, Shaq Wilson was big.
Correct.
He's big in the way that he's just a freak athlete. It doesn't matter where he's playing. He's a guy who can make an impact for you somewhere. He's fast. He's got hands. He's going to make – I think that he is – we talked about, Terry Godwin taking over being the heir apparent to Isaiah McKenzie. I think Brian is a very nice heir apparent to Sony Michel. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not the five-star.
That's how we stop the show,
He's
folks.
Not the five-star, but he can do a lot of those same things. I think that he can contribute in a lot of those same ways for you.
Well, we can always agree to disagree. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up the show, Jake. It's been another great one. Thanks for, hopping in with us like you always do.
Yeah.
UGA Sports Live.
Yes.
Episode 507, 508, whichever one we want to call it. We'll find out here shortly when it gets uploaded to the
podcast.
Couple
of things just to remember. Trivia at Champies.
Absolutely.
Tuesday. The next Tuesday, actually. Going to be $200 cash on the line. So get out here. Yeah, that's two hunion.
Yes.
Also, make sure you get out here Friday nights. They're doing shrimp.
Yep.
And it's fresh Georgia coastal shrimp. Awesome, awesome stuff. We got these wings in front of us. I'm ready to get off camera so we can get into
Correct.
These.
Correct. That and also don't forget, you can also listen to us on iTunes. Or
Google Play.
So podcast will be up. We'll tweet it out from all of our accounts. And thanks again, 11 Alive, for putting us up on Facebook Live.
Sorry if the feed didn't work. Last week, though, the video did work later on. So if you're seeing us now, then hopefully you can go back, catch the whole replay, or download the podcast.
Yeah, and as always, thank you so much to Josh and Amy Collins here at Champions Fried Chicken on Baxter Street. I'm Paul Meharry signing off for Jake Roos. This is UGA Sports Live. We'll talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.